You have your Bible this morning and want to read the Word of God with me. However you access the Scripture, whether it's digitally or through the Word physically in your hand, turn with me this morning over to the book of Psalms. We're going to be reading this morning from the 84th chapter of the book of Psalms. I just want to read three verses this morning, verse number 10 through verse number 12. Psalms 84, beginning with the 10th verse. Psalms chapter 84, beginning with verse number 10. The writer says, "For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory." I love this next part. "No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." One translation says innocently. "O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." Let me read it to you in the God's Word translation. "One day in your courts or in your courtyard is better than a thousand anywhere else." And then he says, "I would rather stand in the entrance to the house of my God than to live inside the wicked's house or the wicked people's home. The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord grants favor and honor. He does not withhold any blessing from those who live innocently. And the Lord of armies, blessed is the man or the woman that trusts or who puts their trust in you." And I'm going to stop right there this morning. Ask everybody, let's bow our heads. And let's pray and ask the Lord for his help and for his anointing in ministering the word of the living God. Father, we are so grateful for your many, many blessings. My, how you have blessed our lives. Father God, we thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit that we have sensed here in this place as we have gathered here in your name this morning. We're grateful for the presence of the Holy Spirit that has touched us and made us, quickened us and made us feel alive inside of our hearts. Your word this morning, Lord, is from everlasting unto everlasting. And I pray this morning, God, as we come to the reading of your word and we come to looking into your scripture and we minister the word of the living God, I pray that you would anoint me with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I openly confess that of my own self, I am incapable. I need your help. I openly confess that without your touch, Lord, I am insufficient to minister your word. But if you will anoint me with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, if you will inspire my thoughts, if you will put your word in my mouth and you will put your word in my heart and let it come forth under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Lord, make me an able minister of the word of the living God. I know that you will bless the hearts and the lives of the hearers. Open each heart, open each spiritual ear that they may hear and understand and record the relevance and the need, I pray, of this message this morning. Let Christ Jesus be glorified. Let the people of God be edified. And for all of these things, I will and we will eternally give you the praise. We ask them now in the mighty and wonderful name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And everyone in agreement with that prayer said amen. Praise God, praise God. So I want to title my thought this morning, If I If I only had one day. If I only had one day. If I only had one day left on my life's calendar. Let me read you a poem that I read many, many years ago. The poem says, the old man looked down, and the young boy looked up. And what did each one see? The old man saw the years gone by, and the young boy saw the years that were to be. The young boy would gladly trade his place and skip a lot of years. How many of you remember when you were young, you just wanted to grow up so fast? You weren't five, you were five and a half. You weren't 10, you were almost 11, right? The young boy would gladly trade his place and skip a lot of years, but the old man would gladly trade to relive the joys of life and skip a lot of tears. But the hand of time will not turn back, nor faster will it go. The old man sees it going fast, but the young boy sees it going slow. This morning there is a gift that is given to each one of us. And all too often I think we fail to take notice of that gift that's given to each one of us and into our lives. I think we fail oftentimes to consider its value, consider its worth. And that gift this morning that has been given to us is the gift of time. The gift of time. Time can be spent pursuing, amen, anything that we choose. It can be spent living for the moment, or it can be spent preparing and working and diligently planning for eternity. But sometimes I think that we need to be reminded that though we have this wonderful gift, I think that oftentimes we need to be reminded that we can only spend it one time, because we cannot recapture moments, minutes, hours, and days, weeks, months, and time that has already gone by. All of us, I believe, at some point in our life will look back over our life with wonderment and wonder within ourselves, where in the world did the time go? I was preparing this message and I thought to myself, you know, it just seemed like yesterday that I was raising babies and now my babies are raising babies. Where did the time go? In fact, I'm shocked that it's already September. Where did the time go? Hello? Amen. Listen what the Bible says concerning our life. James chapter 4 and verse number 14. The Bible declares that our life is just a vapor. It appears for a moment and then it vanishes away. It appears for just a moment of time and then it vanishes away. Our life is like a puff of smoke. It lingers for a short time and then it disappears. And the older that we become, some of you younger folks sitting here this morning listening to me, you're thinking, I got all the time in the world. Amen. Let me tell you, the older you get, the more you acquire an appreciation for the thing called time. Let me pose a question to you this morning. As we ponder this message, consider for a moment, if you only had one day to live, what would you do with that day? How would you spend that day? You say, preacher, that's a terrible thought. My God, I don't want to think about dying. Hello? Preacher, that's a horrible thought. Well, you know, if you don't know Christ, it could be a horrible thought. But thank God, if you know Jesus Christ and your heart is made right with the Lord, then the Bible says that to be absent from this body is to be present in the very presence of the Lord. Amen. So it's really not that tragic of a thought. But if you dwell upon it, if you think about it, all of us have an appointment with death. All of us have a certain allotted amount of time. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 27 that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after that the judgment. In other words, we all have a divine appointment at some place in our life. Somewhere along the line, I think it's good that we probably don't know where that is. We may not know when that appointment comes, and we may not know, amen, when that appointment will arrive. But let me just tell you something. If the Lord tarries, we all have a divine appointment, and we all will at one day spend our last day upon planet Earth in this natural body. Period. It is a fact of life. From the moment we were born, from the moment that we were born, we had a set appointment. And the Bible said that our seasons and our times are in the hand of God. So consider with me this morning that we all have a divine appointment. We are all, if the Lord tarries, going to come to a point where we spend our final day upon the earth. How do you want to spend it? How do you want to spend it? We don't often think about that because we get up in the morning and we live one day, and days turn into weeks, and weeks turn into months, and months turn into years, and then we just begin to take the days and the moments for granted as if they will always be there. There will come a day when it's not there anymore. How do you want to spend it? Maybe you would like to spend it doing something that you have always wanted to do and never had the opportunity to do it. They call it the bucket list. How many of you have a bucket list? Maybe you would say, that's what I want to do. I want to go skydiving. Not me, I'm going to tell you that right up front. That ain't on my bucket list. Maybe you would want to spend it doing something that you had never had the opportunity to do. Maybe you would want to spend it with close friends and family. Maybe you would want to spend it doing exactly what you do every day. Hello? Maybe you would want to spend those final moments or those final hours doing exactly what you have always done. David, in our text this morning, seems to me that he is considering the worth and the value of time. David, it seems to me, in the verses that we have read, he is speaking and he is telling us and he is speaking to our lives about time that is spent, and he comes to the conclusion that one day serving the Lord is worth 1,000 days doing something else. David, it seems to me, is saying that if I only had one day in which to live, that I would want to spend it serving the Lord. Amen. I don't know about you this morning, but if I knew that tomorrow was the end and I only had one day, amen, upon planet Earth, the first thing that I would want to make sure that I am doing is serving the Lord. Can you say amen? Amen. I would want to make sure that my heart is right with God. I'd want to make sure that when I stood before the Lord and I stood before Him face to face, that I would be found washed in the blood, that I would be found cleansed by the sacrifice of the Son of the living God, and that my sins had been removed and everything between God and me was all right. Hello? When the Lord began to put this upon my heart, I began to see three things that David speaks about in these short verses. And he reveals to us where he would like to be. He reveals to us how he would want to spend his final hours. If he says, if I only had one day, I'd want my day spent in a place of service. Now, how did David say that? Look at verse 10. He says, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. He is saying, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. Now, how many of you know the Bible said that there is pleasure in sin for a season? Hello? Well, I can attest to that. When I was a sinner, I had a ball. I was a good one. Hello? There is pleasure in sin, but it's only for a season. How long is that season, preacher? Sometimes it ain't very long. Hello? I mean, it might be a month, 3 months, 2 years. It might be 3 years. But I'm going to tell you what. Amen. Eventually, there's going to be a price to pay for sin. Can you say amen? David is saying, I'd rather be in service for the master. I would rather be in a place of service than to enjoy the pleasures of sin and the pleasures of the wicked. In other words, David was saying that he would rather be found serving the Lord and found in a place of service rather than serving his own selfish desires. I mean, you know, the flesh wants what it wants when it wants it, right? David said, if I knew that my final hours were coming, I wouldn't want to be serving self. I wouldn't want to be serving the flesh, but I would want to be found serving the Lord. Amen. I'd rather be a doorkeeper. I'd rather be in the service of the master, standing at the door, letting folks in and out. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of the ungodly and in the wickedness. Amen. The Bible makes it clear this morning that each one of us this morning have a place in the body of Christ, and each one of us have been called for a purpose and with a plan of God in mind. Do you hear that this morning? Do you understand that this morning? And the greatest thing that a man or a woman can do is to be found in their place of service. If I only had one day to live, amen, thank God, I would want to do it serving the Lord. I would want to do it doing exactly what he has called me to do. Amen. I wouldn't want to be living for self. I wouldn't want to be living for selfish desires, but I would want to be found in the place where the Lord had put me to labor. I would want to be found in a place of service. The Apostle Paul has one of the greatest testimonies of his ministry in his life, and it is found in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 7. Paul knows that he is about to die. He knows that his days are numbered. He knows that his life is going to be short-lived. And this is what he says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 7. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And henceforth, because I've been in a place of service, henceforth there is a crown of righteousness laid up for me. Amen. I'm here to tell you this morning, if I only had one day, I'd want to spend it in my place serving the Lord. I'd rather live in serving the Lord than live in the temporary pleasures of sin. Let me tell you something that some people never find out. True satisfaction comes from serving God and serving others. True satisfaction, inner peace, inner gratification comes through service. Some people never get that. Some people think that they just need to be served. Amen. And they wonder why they feel unfulfilled. And they, amen, it's because true peace, true gratification, true satisfaction comes through serving others. Serving the Lord. Amen. Let me just tell you a little story. It's found in John chapter 4. Jesus, the Bible says, he is on his way through Samaria. He stops at a well. You can read it in John chapter 4. He stops at a well, and a Samaritan woman comes up to him. She's there to draw water. Jesus speaks to her and says, give me to drink. And I don't have time to go into all the ramifications of that, but the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans, and it was absolutely astonishing that Jesus would even talk to her. Amen. But Jesus says to her, give me to drink. And the disciples, the Bible said, had gone into the village to buy food. They hadn't eaten. And while the disciples were gone, this little Samaritan woman shows up and sits. Jesus is sitting on the edge of the well, and he says, give me to drink. And she says, how is it that you being a Jew and me being a Samaritan woman, how is it that you even speak to me when the Jews have no dealings with us? Jesus begins to minister to her. He begins to tell her things in her life that only Jesus would know, only the Messiah would know. And ultimately, she goes her way, convinced that he is the Messiah, goes into the village and says, come and see a man that told me all things about my life. Isn't this the Messiah? And in the meantime, while she went to tell all of those in the village the things that the Lord had ministered to her, the disciples come back. The disciples show up and they try to get Jesus to eat. And they so much so that they begin to look at one another and say, has somebody already given him something to eat? They said, here, Master, eat. And Jesus says to them, I have meat that you know not of. I have substance and nourishment and gratification that you don't even know about. They said, did somebody give him something to eat? Did somebody give it? And Jesus said these words. He said, my meat, my satisfaction, my gratification comes by doing the will of the Father. Amen. By doing the will of the Lord. Someone said to my wife and I here some time ago, they said, man, you guys are always running and taking phone calls. And we had met with them and they said, how do you do it? I mean, you work, you know, and your wife works and you have the church and you minister and you're running here and you got jails called and hospital. I said, you don't understand. Amen. That's where I get my satisfaction. Amen. My true satisfaction comes from serving the Lord and from serving others. If you really want to be found in a place in the final hours of your life with the satisfaction in your heart, learn how to be a doorkeeper in the house of God. Learn how to serve the Lord and learn how to serve others. David said, if I only had one day left, I'd want to be found in a place of service. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than be a movie star in the tents of the wicked. That's modern terminology, all right? I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than be some big shot on the 530 Hollywood clip. Hello? And he's saying true service brings true gratification. Serving the Lord, serving God, serving others brings gratification into your life. And if it were my final day, my final hour, I would rather be found in a place of service and doing what God has called me to do than anything else in this world. Amen. The second thing that he says, and again, it's there in the 10th verse. He says, if I only had one more day, I'd want that day to be found spent in a place of surrender, a place of service. Number two, a place of surrender. How does he say that, Pastor Gary? He says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. My God. Those two little words, my God, infer a sense of devotion to God. David is saying that he wants to be found in a place of submission, a place of surrender. He says, he is my God. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. Amen. He's not my father's God. He's not my mother's God. He's not someone else's God. But I have come to the point in my relationship with him that he has become my God. Amen. That's surrender. Let me tell you something this morning. You can hear all about Jesus and you can know all about Jesus, but until you come to the place where you have made him your personal Savior and you know Jesus, there's a difference. You can know all about him and miss heaven by a mile. Hello? I said you can know all about him and miss heaven by a mile. It's not those that know about him. The Bible said that as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Not those that know about him, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons and the daughters of God. There is a difference between knowing about him and receiving him and him becoming my God. It's speaking about a place of surrender. I've said this often here in our church. Why do we lift our hands? Amen. That is a universal sign of surrender. I surrender, Lord. I surrender my life. I surrender my heart. I surrender all that I am. David is saying that he is my God. I want to be found in a place of perfect surrender and in a place of the perfect will of God for my life. In other words, he's saying, I want to die on the battlefield committed to the Lord. I want to die on the battlefield committed to the one that sought me and the one that bought me and the one that paid for me with a price. I want to be found, amen, serving and surrendered unto the Lord. It becomes a personal thing. Amen. If I had just one more day, I'd want it to live in complete surrender to the Lord, for there is no greater peace than knowing that our heart is right and surrendered unto God. There is no greater calling this morning than being where God has called us to be. David says, first of all, I want to be in a place of service, and I want to be found in a place of surrender. I want to be found in a place of service and a place of surrender. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God, submitted, surrendered unto him. Thirdly, amen, he says, I want to be found in a place of satisfaction. Amen. How does he say that? He says in that 10th verse, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. David is telling us that by his decision that he believes that the living God and living for God is better than anything that this world has to offer. He's saying to us, I would rather be submitted and surrendered to the Lord, because in that place is a place of satisfaction. And I would rather be submitted and surrendered to the Lord than to have all of the wealth of the world, to have all of the notoriety of the world, than to have all of the pats on the back from the world. I'd rather be surrendered to the Lord and submitted to God than to have anything that this world has to offer. I mean, you know, everything that glitters is not gold. Let me put it another way. All of the world's apples have worms. Everything is not what it seems. Right? How do you know that? I've lived it. There was a time in my earlier years that my desire, my aspiration was to be an entertainer. I was going to make it in the music industry. We started out playing nightclubs, and then nightclubs became fairs and rodeos, and then we started doing front shows for other entertainers. We were rubbing shoulders with the right people, had a contract with Caprice Records. Hello? I had money. Plenty of it. I've seen my name in 6-foot letters on a marquee, Gary White and the Countrymen. Amen. Everybody said, man, you're rubbing shoulders with success. You're on your way. And I said, well, how come I feel so empty? I got a full pocket. I got a good woman. I got some notoriety. I'm rubbing shoulders with the right people. I've worked all these years trying to get a record deal, trying to get a contract. And I finally got record companies interested in people. And I'm just empty. Why? Because everything that glitters is not gold. Amen. Let me just tell you, the devil will tell you that the living for the world and living in the world is this wonderful, wonderful party. But he didn't tell you about the heartache and the emptiness. But I'm going to tell you what, when I turned my heart over to Jesus Christ, I found a satisfaction that money could not buy. I found a satisfaction that notoriety could not put in my heart. Hello? Amen, amen. I'm going to tell you right now, I found a satisfaction in serving the Lord and being submitted to the Lord. I found a satisfaction in living for Jesus this morning. Amen, that when I found the Lord, amen, he changed my heart from the inside out. Amen, and he gave me a peace that passes all understanding. He gave me a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. He gave me a joy in my heart and in my spirit that the world could never give me, because everything that glitters is not gold. David said, if I knew it was my final hour, if I knew it was my final day, I would want to be found in a place of service. I would want to be found in a place of surrender, and I would want to be found in a place of satisfaction. And then verse 11 and verse number 12, David begins to tell us his reasons why. Look at verse number 11. David begins to tell us why one day with the Lord is better than 1,000 in the tents of the wicked. Here in verse 11, in verse number 12, he begins to tell us why he would want to spend his final hours in a place of service, surrender, and satisfaction in the Lord. Verse number 11, David tells us that the Lord is a sun, and like the sun above, the Lord is ever present with his children. Like the sun above, the sun that rises every morning. How many of you know it's like clockwork? The sun that rises every morning, it's always there. Even when it is shrouded by clouds, it's still there. The sun above, he said, the Lord is like a sun above. The Lord is ever present with his children. Can I tell you this morning that I have found a friend that sticks closer than a brother? The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5, the Bible says that God has said that he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 20, Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. He is ever present with us. He is ever with us. And just like the sun reveals light unto our path and gives us clarity to walk, amen, Jesus Christ has come to give us life and life more abundant. And Christ gives us revelation and light. His word, the Bible said, is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. He is ever present with us. And just like the sun, he brings revelation I'm going to tell you this morning, I would not want the last day of my life to be prayerless. I would not want the last day of my life to be praiseless. I would not want the last day of my life to be filled with neglect when it comes to the things of God. But oh, I would want my life to be filled with praise and to be filled with adoration and to be filled with the Spirit of the Lord, even to overflowing in my life, finding me in a place of service, in a place of surrender, and in a place of satisfaction with God. Hallelujah. I'm going to get carried away here in a minute. The second reason that David reveals to us that he would want to be in a place of service, a place of surrender, and a place of satisfaction. The second reason, David not only calls the Lord a son, an ever-present help, but he says the Lord is a shield. How many of you know that could be very important if you were in the middle of a battle? He said, the Lord is a shield. What does it speak of? It speaks of the Lord's protecting hand. It speaks of God's protection upon our life. Psalms 91, verse number 1 through verse number 7. The Bible says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, maybe you know that's a good place to be. Under the shadow of the Almighty. He says, and I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. How many of you ever needed a fort to run to? Hello? He said, God is that fortress. God is that place of refuge. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. And he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust, and his truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Get this. He said, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh unto thee. Why? Because God is our shield. God is our protector. David says, I'd rather be in a place of service, a place of surrender, and a place of sweet satisfaction with the Lord, because God is my place of refuge. Whenever I am faced with something that is larger than myself, and I know that I do not have it within my ability to handle it, I have a fortress that I can run to. I have a God that I can turn to. I have a God that will shelter me and cover me with his presence and cover me with his protecting hand. Amen. I'm going to tell you something this morning. Amen. Money cannot buy that. Thank God there have been times in my life when I have faced things that were larger than life, faced things that were larger than me, faced things that were larger than my intellect. I couldn't figure out how to get around it. I faced things that were beyond my ability. I had bills that I owed that I couldn't pay. And thank God he made a way. Thank God he was my shield. He was my fortress. And when I didn't know what to do, I could run to the Lord, and he made a way where there was not a way. He provided when I could not provide. He upheld me with the right hand of his righteousness. He sustained me. Amen. You hear what I'm talking about? If I only had one more day, oh my God, I would want it to be a day serving the Lord. I would want it to be a day with the praises of God coming out of my mouth. I would want it to be a day where there was a song in my heart. I would want it to be a day where there was a prayer upon my lips. I would want it to be a day where my heart was surrendered and committed to the Lord. And then when I stood in the presence of my God, amen, I would stand in the presence of the Lord, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, knowing that everything was well with my soul. Hallelujah. David gives us a third reason. He says his promise. The psalmist tells us that he would rather spend a day with the Lord because of his promise. And he tells us here in the end of that verse, he says, the Lord will give grace and glory. Everybody read that? The Lord will give grace and glory. That promise is twofold to every one of us that are a believer. We are promised his grace while we are traveling this earthly journey. But oh, we are promised his glory when we breathe our final breath and depart from this world. We are promised his grace while we are upon this earth, but we are promised his glory when we arrive home. There is hope for today, and there is help for today, and there is hope for tomorrow. We are promised the grace of God will be sufficient for our every need. We are promised that his grace will be sufficient for our sins. We are promised that his grace will be sufficient for our trials. We are promised this morning that his grace will be sufficient for our every tribulation. And we are promised that when we breathe our final breath, that we will step from the realm of the earthly and the realm of the temporal. And we will leave this corruption and we will step over into the realm of the glory of God. And we will step into the eternal and we will step in, amen, to the eternal glory of the Lord. We are promised this morning, amen, that his grace is sufficient for our every need if we continue to walk by faith and hold on to the promise of our God. And then he closes it by saying, and no good thing will he withhold. Wow. How many of you have something you think might be a good thing in your life? Now, let me just tell you, some things that we think would be a good thing really wouldn't be a good thing for us. Hello? When I was 5, I thought it might be a good thing to go sit in the middle of the road and play with trucks. Thank God I wasn't allowed to do that. But it was a nice, smooth surface. Hello? I thought it'd be great. But listen, he says, and no good thing will he withhold from them who walk uprightly before him, or walk innocently before him, or walk according to his will. No good thing will he withhold from you. So in other words, what he is saying, that if you are desiring something good in your life, and you are desiring God to do something good in your home, your household, your life, God says, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly before him. Pastor Gary, are there other scriptures that verify what you're saying? Yeah, there are. Let me read to you Psalms chapter 34. You might want to mark it in your Bible. Psalms chapter 34, verse number 8 through verse number 10. This is what the psalmist said. He says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Well, I'll tell you why I get radical sometimes and I just, you know, look like a fanatic and all that sort of thing is because I tasted and I found out God is so good. Amen. I found out that He is so good. I mean, He is sweet to the taste. The psalmist said, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Oh, fear the Lord. That means reverence the Lord. Honor the Lord. Put God first. It doesn't mean tremble in fear of God. It means reverence God. Honor God. Put God first. Ye His saints. For there is no want to them that reverence Him. There is no want to them that reverence Him. And then he goes on to say in Psalms 34, verse number 10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. The young lions in all of their strength and their cunning ability to hunt and their robust power and their, I mean, they are fierce, but even they lack and suffer, lack because they are not capable. They're not capable of finding every prey or seeking everything that they want. He said the young lions do lack and suffer hunger. It's a fact. He's using it as an allegory. In all of their strength, in all of their prowess, they never get what they really want sometimes. But he says, they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. David gives us some reasons this morning why he felt the way that he felt. He says, if I only had one day, I'd want to spend it enjoying and giving thanks for the things that God has provided in my life. I started this message this morning saying, if you knew that tomorrow would be your last day upon planet Earth, how would you want to spend it? Are you confident? Are you confident that you would draw your final breath and step into the presence of the Lord? Or is there a glimmer of doubt? Are you confident that if that day should arrive? How many of you remember, well, I probably shouldn't, you know, say the old soap opera, but, and I'm probably dating myself too, but you know, the little hourglass ascends through the hourglass. So are the days of our lives. Let me just tell you something. Some of us have more sand on the bottom than others. Hello? You say, preacher, I am young and I got a whole life to live. You are absolutely right. But remember, you can only spend it once. The old man looked down, and the young boy looked up. And what did each one see? The old man saw the years that have gone by. Where did the time go? The young boy saw the years that were to be. But I'm going to tell you something. You say, preacher, I'm young and I got lots of time. I intend to make Jesus the Lord of my life, but I'm young. Not today. Let me just tell you quickly this morning that we're not assured of tomorrow. Amen. Nobody promised that we had tomorrow. Here's what we need to do. We need to live every single day as if it were our last one. Sometimes we get so caught up in life and we get so busy with life, we stop to just enjoy the journey. We need to live every day as if it were the last. And should the Lord call us home unexpectedly, we would find ourselves in the presence of the Lord absolutely prepared for eternity, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Let me tell you a story from the book of Luke. It's Luke chapter 12. Beginning with the 16th verse, there was an individual that the Bible says was a foolish man. Why was he foolish? Here's what Jesus said about this man. Jesus said that there was a certain man that had fields and he planted crops, and his crops were so large. He was so enriched that he said, I don't even know where I'm going to put all this. There was just a super abundance. And this is what he said. He said, I know what I'll do. I will build me bigger barns. And I will store all of this stuff in the bigger barns, and I will say to myself, self, you got it made. You got enough. You got enough, you can sit back on Easy Street. And you can say to your soul, eat, drink, be merry. Because tomorrow's covered. And this is what God said. He said, you fool. Tonight, your soul will be required of you. And then, whose shall these things be? In other words, God was reminding him that he wasn't in charge. He didn't know when his final hour would come. And neither do we. So we just simply need to live in a place of service, a place of surrender, and in a place of satisfaction, knowing that our heart is right with God. Would you bow your heads all over the building this morning? Will you bow your heads? Better is one day in your courts. Oh God, better is one day serving you. Better is one day surrendered to you. Better is one day striving to maintain my relationship with Jesus Christ. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Better is one day, Lord, living for you than dwelling in the tents of wickedness. Living for self, living in the place of sin. Help us just simply to understand that this morning, Lord. As we bow our heads and we bow our hearts before you, I pray, oh God, that you would speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, that you would take the words of this message and that you would cause us to understand that time is a gift. It is limited. It is a limited gift. We all have an appointment. We don't know when. We don't know where. We just know it's fact. So help us to live submitted, surrendered, found in a place of service to Jesus Christ. I ask you, Lord, to take the words of this message to the hearts of the hearers. Speak to our lives. Speak to our hearts now, Holy Spirit. I ask in Jesus' name, every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Are you here in this place this morning? And maybe you would be willing to slip up your hand and say, Pastor Gary, I am not in a place of service. I'm not in a place of surrender. I'm not in a place. God sees your hand. God sees your hand and your hand and your hand, your hand and your hand and your hand, your hand. God sees every hand. Pastor Gary, I'm not in a place of surrender. I'm not in a place of service. Anyone else, you'd slip up your hand and say, Preacher, that's me. That's me. Better is one day. Stand to your feet all over the building this morning. If you would, let me pray with those that have slipped up their hands this morning. A multitude of hands have gone up, said, Pastor Gary, I'm not where I need to be with the Lord. I'm not right. I'm not submitted. I'm not surrendered. If I only had one day, God. If I only had one day. I would want to leave this world knowing beyond any shadow of any doubt that my heart is surrendered, serving, submitted, committed to you and to your Son, Jesus. Father, you've seen every hand that was lifted here this morning. I don't know what obstacle has raised and stood in their way, but Lord, you've seen every hand lifted. And I am asking right now, Lord, that you by the power of your Holy Spirit would just encourage their heart as they call upon your name. Lord, that you would give them the confidence and the assurance that it is well with our soul. And Lord, that if that one day should be over, even today, we would be found on heaven's side of eternity shouting the praises of God. On heaven's side of eternity, standing on the shore of heaven with our eyes fixed upon the one who died for us. I ask it in Jesus' name, Lord. Give them the assurance and the peace. And when they walk out of this building this morning, let them know, amen, let them know that it is well with their soul, I pray. In the name of Jesus, I ask it. In the name of Jesus, I ask it.